I despise annuities. Almost every kind of annuity out there. Annuities are a product that is sold, not bought. What does that mean? That means if there weren't salespeople pitching them, there wouldn't be consumers buying them.
I guess I'm going to mess this guy up again. Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode number 78 of the Atlas Annuity Podcast. This is Marty Becker, the owner and founder of Atlas Financial Strategies in St. Louis, Missouri, where we specialize in safe money retirement strategies. In this week's episode, we're going to do another review of a Clark Howard video where he rails against annuities. Now, again, I don't even really know who this guy is. I'm assuming he's like a Dave Ramsey type of financial educator, which is totally fine, and I'm sure he has a lot of good information. However, when it comes to his overview of annuities, he's wrong pretty much on everything. And I think this video warrants a response from someone who deals with annuities on a daily basis. So let's go ahead and we'll jump right into this.
Because annuities are a product that generally has poor tax treatment under the tax code, has gigantic commissions built into it, unbelievably high ongoing expenses. And if later your circumstances change in your life or you realize, oops, I shouldn't have bought this, you are subject to a horrendous fee known as a surrender charge that can last as long as 15 years.
Okay. So he said a lot of this type of stuff in the last video of his that we reviewed, but let's start with the taxes. Depending on what type of money you use to fund the annuity depends on the type of tax treatment. Now, if you fund anything with a traditional IRA, everything that comes out is taxed at normal income. If you fund anything with a Roth IRA, it's tax-free when you take it out within the parameters of the Roth IRA. And if you fund something with non-qualified money, then yes, the money will be taxed normal income rates, and stocks will be at a short or long-term capital gains rate. However, what he fails to mention is that if you are reinvesting the dividends in a stock portfolio or a mutual fund, and you're just letting them grow inside the account, you're paying taxes on them every single year, even though you're not taking them out and getting the benefit from them. And this is a huge pet peeve of mine because he's doing which almost every other person does who likes to critique annuities, is he's comparing them to stocks or to mutual funds, which is not a real comparison. No one compares an F-250 pickup truck to a Corvette because they are built for totally different purposes. And that leads me into his next point, which is the surrender charges. Now, the surrender charges on annuities are there because when you send your money to the annuity company, they're taking that and they're buying long-term investment-grade bonds to back up your policy. And if you change your mind, then they have to liquidate those bonds, which they will lose money on, and that gets passed on to you. So it's no different if you owned the bonds or the CDs or the Class B mutual funds or whatever other type of term product is out there, you're going to pay a surrender charge if you canceled the term early. That's the trade-off, especially when you're talking about any type of fixed product that has a guarantee of principal protection. So there's going to be a term length that you are agreeing to. And he says that they can keep your money for up to 15 years, which is true. But he fails to mention that you can get certain types of annuities for a term as short as 2 years. So he's fear-mongering and at best just being very disingenuous on that point. And I could do the same thing by saying that if you were in the S&P 500 in the year 2000, you had surrender charges for 14 years because that's how long it took after having those losses from the year 2000 to 2003, and then again in 2008. It took 14 years just to get back to even.
Why do I hate them so much? Because first of all, they're sold by people whose incentive is the money they receive for selling that particular annuity from that particular company and that version that pays bonuses, override commissions, and all the rest. They are not sold based on your need. They are sold based on the salesperson's need for income for his or her life.
Okay. Now, this is probably one of the dumbest things he could have said, because first of all, no one works for free. I think we can all agree on that point. Second, on a commission-based annuity, that commission is paid by the annuity company out of their general fund and does not come out of your pocket. Now, you can't say that on something like a Class A mutual fund. That does come directly out of your pocket. Third, when you submit an annuity application, you have to go through something called suitability, meaning the annuity company will ensure by the information submitted on the application if the annuity recommended by the agent is in fact appropriate recommendations. And if it's not, the annuity company will reject the application. And fourth, this is where he's not being specific when he's talking about fees. There are some annuities that do have fees, but normally if you're paying a fee, it's around 1% and you're getting something stated and specific in exchange for that fee. What he seems to be referring to are variable annuities which are wrought with fees, about 3.75% on average. And if you've watched any of my other videos, I do not like variable annuities for that reason. But he's not being specific about the type of annuity that he's talking about. And fifth, he says these annuities are being sold based on the need for income in the salesperson's life. So I guess what he's telling me and all of us is that there are no financial advisors out there selling mutual funds or stocks that have a higher commission solely for the money. And there's no car salesman out there talking people into buying a Mercedes that they can't afford just to get a bigger commission. This really comes down to the personal character of the person that you're dealing with and not the actual product that's being sold. And to demonize every single person in a profession, it's not only insulting, it's idiotic.
And annuities have contracts with them that normally are nearly 200 pages long of legal speak.
Again, he's referring to variable annuities because those are actually securities products. They're not insurance products. It's no different than a prospectus from a mutual fund. It's hundreds of pages long with, quote, legal speak. However, the average disclosure statement that you will get from a fixed type of annuity is normally around 10 pages long, and the agent helping you fund that annuity should be able to explain anything written on those pages. And if they can't, then you probably need to go work with someone else.
The insurance salesperson coming to you trying to sell you the annuity will show you what's known as a policy illustration. Insurance companies are regulated by the states. And in most states, the insurance commissioners or insurance official handpicked by the industry. And so the insurance regulator, the insurance department in a state will approve what's known as an illustration that will show you that your money, no matter what you do, is going to the sky. And if you buy this annuity, it's unbelievable. You're going to put in this money and you're going to have untold riches. You're going to be like King Tut with all his gold. You're going to be with Bezos on the world's biggest yacht. Man, these things, these illustrations, the colorful brochures you're offered that show your money going up like that, it will then say in microtype, not guaranteed. Not guaranteed.
Now, on this point, I actually do agree with them because I personally have a problem with a lot of the hypothetical illustrations that are allowed to be shown to people. I think some of them are not realistic. And I personally tell all of my clients that we will stick with what the guarantees are, okay? Especially if we're talking about providing income. But where he is obfuscating, which is just a fancy word for lying, is that they're typing these things in micro print and they're trying to hide the fact that one part is guaranteed and the other part is not guaranteed. So here's an example of an actual illustration that I ran for a lady just this past week. So as you can see, there in big bold print at the top of the page says illustrated contract values projected on a guaranteed basis. This is going to be included in every illustration that is given to you. What is the guarantee in a fixed indexed annuity? 0%. Okay, so never going backwards. Then they're going to give you another page in that illustration that in big bold print at the top of the page says non-guaranteed basis. So like I was saying, when we're talking about income, we always want to stick with the guaranteed basis if we're not using an income rider. And what I tell people is we can probably bet on this somewhere in between the guaranteed and the non-guaranteed. But four very specific stakes, meaning my reputation and my client's future income, we're always going to stick with the guaranteed page. But for him to insinuate that they're trying to hide the fact that this particular page right here is what you're going to get, and then they're hiding that it's non-guaranteed, you can see in bold letters at the top, it says very plainly, non-guaranteed basis.
And what do they tell you about all the fees and all the gotchas? They do tell you in that nearly 200-page legal disclosure that a lawyer couldn't understand. But let me tell you a little secret. The salesperson selling it to you, he or she doesn't know either what that contract means. They don't know the gotchas. They just want the free trip to Hawaii that comes with selling so many of them in a period of time.
Now, again, this is something that we can agree on because I do think there's a lot of agents out there that don't understand the ins and outs of these annuities. But when he is talking about a 200-page contract, again, he's referring to a variable annuity and he is not differentiating across the spectrum of different types of annuities out there. Now, unfortunately, this is also a problem with agents selling IULs, Indexed Universal Life Insurance. So be on the lookout for those too, because again, there's a lot of stuff in those that the agents don't understand and the hypotheticals look amazing.
The insurance salespeople are going to push indexed annuities, especially right now in a quote unquote time of uncertainty in the world. When is there not uncertainty in the world? When are there not unexpected, terrible events, along with very good events that don't get coverage? So it's always the greatest pitch.
Thanks for making my point, Clark. Seriously, there's always uncertainty, which is the exact point of having a safe money product that you can dip into as needed when everything else is going off the rails.
And with the index stuff, they're going to say to you, you know what? We're going to guarantee you upside of the stock market, but we're going to protect you from losses. That's why they're so popular. Because if I'm somebody who I want the benefit of what, because being an owner is where wealth flows, but I'm also really nervous because stock market goes up, goes down like the scary part of the roller coaster, and then I don't know when it's coming back up. So I buy this index annuity. I have bought peace of mind. I am good. I am safe. But what they don't tell you is when they say you're going to ride with the index, but be protected from losses or will cap your losses. They don't tell you that they only give you part of the gain. They cap your gain and they charge you fees that are usually 50 to 100 times what the fees are if you buy a low-cost index fund.
Okay. So he said a lot there, but yes, your earnings are going to be limited based on the crediting strategy that is chosen. Now, that can be a cap, a spread, or a participation rate. The reason that they have to limit the growth is because of that downside protection. That is the whole point, because the insurance company is not putting your money into the market. They're buying call options. And if that doesn't make any sense, let me suggest that you go and listen to episodes 3, 4, and 5 of this podcast. And I'll try and remember to put links in the show notes so you can go directly to those episodes. But this is a classic argument that you're not going to get the full gains of the index. And that is 100% true, because you cannot have unlimited gains without unlimited risk of loss, okay? That is the trade-off. And I think even a third grader can understand that, but yet he doesn't differentiate the two. And about the fees that he's referring to that are 50 to 100 times that of an index fund, those are 100% optional. There are annuities out there that will offer a higher crediting strategy for more growth opportunity in exchange for a fee, normally about 1%. Now, I personally never recommend those, but I know people who use them in their own annuities and don't seem to have a problem with them, because you always have that downside protection from a market crash.
And they don't give you the dividends, which are a big chunk of what you make in the stock market.
You don't get the dividends because you're not in the stock market, which again, he fails to mention.
So yeah, it's true. They give you part of the gain of the market, but they only give you part of that picture anyway, since you're not getting the dividends. And then they charge you these ginormous expenses, and you're their prisoner for 15 years, and you may be subject to higher tax rates on it, usually you will be, than you would be in a simple index fund.
Again, wrong on the fees, wrong on being a prisoner for 15 years, as we discussed earlier. And the taxes we addressed earlier, but what, again, he fails to mention is that all the growth in any annuity is completely deferred until the end of the term. So maybe a person doesn't want to pay the taxes on the dividends every year because it's going to affect their IRMA. Do you ever think of that, Clark? That's a real thing, okay? Maybe they want to keep the money protected and growing, and if they need it, they'll take the hit on the taxes at that point because they just don't have any other options. But that's not a choice with stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. You pay the taxes on the dividends every single year, whether you take them out or not.
All for the protection that you won't lose money in a down year, or you'll lose only this much in a down year. And you're stuck with them for 15 years. If you buy...
And he keeps saying you're stuck with them for 15 years, and he's being extremely disingenuous on this. Now, you can get fixed indexed annuities as short as 5 years, and you can get MIGAs as short as 2 years. And actually, now that I'm thinking about it, they even come in one-year terms.
Fund. How long do you have to hold it? You can sell it the next day. And you're stuck with them for 15 years. If you buy, how long do you have to hold it? You can sell it the next day. And there's no penalty for that. And with stock trading being free, it's simple, easy.
Okay, sorry. So sure, you can sell your index fund the next day and get your money back. But again, he's comparing apples to oranges, totally different products. And I'm not sure of anything being free. If one of these trading platforms is providing you a service to trade stocks on, you're being charged something. So I have no idea what he's talking about in that aspect.
Variable annuities are another form of owning the stock market, but in a very disadvantaged way. And then fixed annuities are the one part that might have certain products that are okay. And I've talked about two kinds.
Okay, finally, he is starting to differentiate the types of annuities that are available. But what he doesn't realize is that he's been talking about variable annuities pretty much his whole time throughout this video.
One is where more and more employers are offering you an option in your 401k that you work at a place that has no pension and you're uncomfortable when you can retire and you're going to be okay. You can take a portion of your 401k, or normally people wouldn't do all of it, but take a portion of it and you can turn it into the equivalent of a pension, where you'll get money every month for as long as you live. It can be a second to die that your spouse also gets money for as long as you live. And so it gives you, in addition to Social Security, you also have a set check you're going to get every month for the amount of money you put into that, what's known as an immediate annuity or retirement annuity. And it's just a simple payment where the insurance company guarantees to pay forever. Salespeople don't talk about them because the commissions on those are like nothing.
That's weird, because I talk about them every day because they've been around for hundreds of years and are one of the most powerful retirement products that you can have in your retirement strategy. But I can tell you the people who really don't talk about them are people like Clark and any of the hundreds of other people like him on YouTube making videos, giving half-truths, and bashing something that has been a solid foundation of retirement dating back for a very long time.
Another kind is a longevity annuity. We don't know how long we're going to live. So you can buy one really cheap that doesn't pay you anything if you die before age 80 or 85. But it means once you hit 80 or 85, you can be destitute at that point, because the money you get from the insurance company will provide for your life the rest of your life, however long that is.
Okay, so what he's talking about is a QLAC, or Qualified Longevity Annuity Contract. Really, the only reason you would want one of these is because you want to take a chunk of money out of your traditional IRA, so your tax-deferred money, which as of right now, I believe is up to $200,000, and send that to the annuity company, because you won't be subject to RMDs on that amount of money, and you can defer it until age 85. Now, I personally have never used one of these, because you're basically surrendering the value of the annuity to the insurance company, and maybe you get the benefit from it, and maybe you don't. It depends on how long you live.
Because so often with money, it's the risk of living too long, not too short.
Again, thanks for making my point, Clark. Yes, that is the problem with traditional retirement planning. It's outliving your money. And you just spent the past 9 minutes in your video demonizing the only financial product, literally, that can ensure no matter how long you live, you will never run out of income, even if you run out of money. It's freaking amazing the lack of self-awareness this guy has.
So if I bought a longevity annuity and died before it made the first payment, you're going to have regrets? No, you're dead. I don't care about that. But having the income there moving forward is fine. But just understand, you're not going to hear about those from an insurance salesman, because the commissions are so pitiful. What you're going to hear from them is you're going to hear about index annuities, fixed index annuities, variable annuities, and the answer is no annuities of those kind.
See, only now is he differentiating between all the different types of annuities. But the most important question to ask when selecting an annuity is, what is the purpose of the money? Or as Stan the Annuity Man always asks, what do you want this annuity to do, and when do you want it to do it? That's how you choose the best type of annuity for your specific situation.
What do you have? What happens? This comes up every time I trash annuities. What if you're already in one? Odds are you may need to stay a good while because of that surrender charge. The huge fees they charge you to exit may be such that you just may need to say, I will. Wish I hadn't done that, but I'm there, and wait for the surrender charge to run out. And then you get out of Dodge. You can get out of Dodge tax-free if you move the money to one of the organizations that has ultra-low-cost annuities Because again, you've checked into Hotel California. You can't really get out without tax issues. And so if you don't need the money at that point in your life, you can do what's known as a 1035 exchange, where you move it to a low-cost provider like TIAA or Fidelity Investments and get it out of whatever insurance company you were under.
Now, a 1035 exchange could be a good idea for you. If you're an annuity right now that's not doing what you need it to do, meaning it's not serving the original purpose that you had intended for it to serve, then there are options to get you into something more appropriate. And I'm always happy to talk with people in that situation. All you got to do is go to atlasannuity.com and book a short Zoom call with me, and we'll see if it makes sense for you to surrender your current annuity. Now, again, he's just throwing blanket statements out there that you should send the money to TIAA or Fidelity. And I don't know why you would want to do that when you can get the exact same annuity from another company, only the benefit could be a lot higher. That's what we do here at Atlas. We use third-party software to put all the annuity companies right next to each other to verify that we are getting you the best benefit available in the marketplace.
And I know this is a lot to absorb, but I want in your head, remember, whose interests are they after? Their own. The insurance industry fights tooth and nail against ever having to hit to be a fiduciary. The insurance industry does not want its salespeople to have to do by law what's in the best interest of you as a customer. I can't call you an investor doing stuff with an insurance company. If they really cared about you and cared about doing what was right for you, they would, with open arms, embrace meeting the legal standard being a fiduciary.
Let me just start over. Okay, sure, Clark, because what you're doing is pushing everyone who's watching this video to Wall Street because they have a stellar record of doing what's in the best interest of the American people. So give me a freaking break, man. I cannot tell you how many trainings I've had to go through on applying best interest standards when selling annuities. And this whole fiduciary label has become more of a marketing term than anything. What people want to know and what they think about when they hear the term fiduciary is, will this person rip me off somehow? Okay. And I made a whole podcast on that subject. It's actually episode 12. And again, I'll try and remember to put a direct link to that. But having this title of fiduciary means absolutely nothing in that aspect. You know why? Because Bernie Madoff was a fiduciary. And how'd that work out for people? So this goes back to the character of the person you're dealing with. And I can tell you that the insurance industry, which is an industry that provides annuities, is way more scrutinized and way more regulated than the securities industry. Okay, everyone, I'm going to wrap this up now because I have a headache after listening to this guy. So I want to tell you, don't be like Clark. Continue to educate yourself on annuities because they are one of the most effective products you can have in your retirement strategy. And in my opinion, one of the best ways to learn about annuities and how to use them the most effectively is by watching my video series, 20% More Spendable Income in Retirement, which you can find by going to atlasannuity.com and clicking on the video section, and it should pop up at the top of the page. Now, if you're wondering if an annuity is a good fit for your personal situation, again, book a short time by going to atlasannuity.com or clicking the schedule a call button in the top right corner of any page on my website, and we'll have a short Zoom call to figure out if an annuity is an appropriate recommendation for you. And if you're just stumbling across this video and you haven't subscribed to the YouTube channel or the podcast, help us out, subscribe, give us a thumbs up, leave a comment if there's something I said that you disagree with, or if there's something maybe I overlooked that Clark said. Always happy to engage that way. And always, you can share this information with someone that you think could benefit from hearing it. But again, I want to thank you for joining me. This has been episode 78 of the Atlas Annuity Podcast. My name is Marty Becker, wishing you all the best in your financial education. We'll catch you in the next episode.